listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brewski.
Featuring former federal prosecutor and president of West Coast Trial Lawyers, Nima Rahmani.
Let's go to Corey Richens. We learned just this last week about some of her other bad acts prior to being charged with the murder of her husband, filing 6 months prior to those murder accusations, accusing Corey Richens of selling a house with hazardous levels of mold and an onslaught of other mysterious medical problems that those families experienced. The claim is that she knew about it, and there is quite a bit of evidence that points to that, including text messages from Richens to some contractors, but not really seeing the importance of selling a home and disclosing that the house has a serious mold problem. What's your thoughts on all of this? I mean, number one, this has got to be an absolute nightmare for this family to try and now go after Corey, where she's sitting right now. I think they're probably kind of screwed there, but it does show a continuance in the negative, this behavior of lying and scheming to everyone in Corey's world by Corey.
Oh yeah, it's certainly really bad for Corey and her family, right? So she's obviously, you know, lied and kind of scammed her husband and all the folks who bought her book, but now you have this other family, and you know, you have a duty to disclose these types of issues as either an agent or a broker or even the seller of a house. So it's a pretty strong case, but you're right. Corey's not there. She's, you know, in custody. So you have this civil trial that's moving forward with her in absentia, which you can't because it's a civil case. I assume they're going to get some sort of judgment, but unless there's some insurance that's going to pay, I mean, good luck collecting from Corey, you know, while she's in prison and likely going to spend the rest of her life there.
Yeah, I don't think it's really going to go very far. I'm wondering if any of this is going to be brought up or if it will be allowed to be brought up into the murder trial, kind of in a similar way of how Alec Murdaugh's misdeeds were brought up in that case, where the financial crimes really didn't necessarily have a ton to do with the actual murders themselves, maybe possibly motive. But is this something where we see some more of her bad acts come up to really paint a picture of Corey, or are they even needed to come up in a case like this with the prosecution trying to really show the jury what type of person Corey Richens is? Has she done enough damage on herself with the murder case that none of this really is going to make a difference?
I don't think you're going to need it. I think Murdaugh was interesting and unique in that, you know, the evidence of the financial crimes was initially kept out, and the defense kept cross-examining the prosecution's witnesses and saying, well, what motive would he have to kill his wife and son? So they really opened the door in a bad way. The judge there took a pretty broad view of motive and said, well, yeah, he killed his wife and kid to cover up all these financial crimes. So, you know, I don't think we're going to have a similar situation here where anyone's going to say that, you know, Corey killed her husband because of this civil lawsuit. So I don't think a judge is going to let it in. It's too far removed. It's not your typical textbook prior bad act. It's going to stay out. But again, there's so much evidence, text messages, internet search history to put Richens in jail. So
yeah,
I think the prosecution is going to play this one straight up.
What should the brother of Corey Richens and the mother be doing at this point? Because obviously there's that implication of potential jury tampering with the letter that was taken out of her cell. They've been out on television, on Good Morning America, on other places, very much trying to profess her innocence. And one would expect that from your loved ones. You want to believe that. But now that we have that letter that says, hey, say this, say that, are they putting themselves at risk by being out there and continuing to profess this? Or does it all really just matter what they say when they're on the stand? And should they go on the stand to profess her innocence if essentially they're doing what she asked them to do in that letter?
Yeah, you got to be careful. I mean, there's definitely the risk of criminal prosecution, right? Mm-hmm. And obstruction of justice. I mean, you have this letter where, you know, Corey's asking them to lie, right? And of course, she says it's part of her fictional book. But I mean, let's not forget that they've also been named. We're talking about civil lawsuits. They've been named in a civil suit as well, right?
Yeah.
Eric's family has filed against them saying they're trying to, you know, hide assets and all that type of stuff. So at a minimum, they're looking at some potential civil liability and a judgment. And if they push this too far, you know, they could be prosecuted as well. And at the end of the day, jurors, you know, when the mom comes and testifies about how great their son is and he would never do that, or this mm-hmm. case, how great their daughter is. Juries kind of see through that. I don't think they're going to add a whole lot to the case, and they can only get themselves in trouble. So if I was advising them, I think they need to really start keeping their mouth shut, because at a minimum, they're being sued, and even worse, they may end up getting prosecuted.
Is this like a last-ditch effort? If you're relying on people like your brother and your mother to go on the stand and profess how wonderful you are, I mean, if you're going down to that basic of an individual who would almost always likely say that, you know, you're innocent, is that really showing a defense that just doesn't have a whole lot of options?
Not a good defense at all, Tony. And, you know, obviously I'm not a psychologist, and we're going to be talking about some therapists, you know, soon enough. But, you know, this is kind of like the psychology of someone that's just a pathological liar, right? I don't think, you know, Corey believes her own lies, or it just, it's really sort of really bizarre behavior to do this. She herself obviously went on the talk show circuit talking about this book that she wrote, and I'm sure she lied to her kids, but let me tell you what doesn't lie: text messages, internet search history, you know, buying lethal doses of fentanyl and the Michael Jackson sort of cocktail. That doesn't lie.
Exactly.
And I think this is going to be a very strong case to the prosecution. I mean, she may get take this. She might be the type of defendant that just takes a stand and tries to convince the jurors that she's not lying. But I expect that to fail, and fail pretty miserably.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts, and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member, exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.